Hey there, this is Jody Clock and welcome to my podcast, I Woke Up Dead, Now What? In our conversations, we'll talk about real issues that everyday people face should they wake up dead without a life after death plan in place. Join me as we explore the how-tos on preparing for you or your loved one's passing without breaking the bank. And let's not forget about those pets too. Now, don't you fall asleep. Hey everyone, this is Jody Clock and welcome to my podcast, I Woke Up Dead, Now What? So today we're going to talk about living and dying in the 21st century. I stumbled upon a podcast and a TED Talk. I don't know if any of you guys listen to TED Talks, but I'm hooked on them. And this one was by a doctor out of Australia. His name was Dr. Peter Saul, and he's an intensive care surgeon. And the stuff that he talked about was very parallel to what I'm very passionate about, which is advocacy. So what I'd like to do is just kind of break down what this TED Talk was about. I think you're going to find it interesting, and I think you're going to want to make sure when it's time that you leave this world, you do it properly. So Dr. Saul was a physician in the 70s and the 80s, and even in the 90s, they practiced medicine, and they did it kind of, you know, they were there to do life-saving measures. And that's what people were taught to do. But he pointed out in his talk that fast forward to today, it's really just extending or prolonging life. It's not life savings. Well, what does that mean? It means that there is an extraordinarily amount of people who have no quality of life, but because there were life-saving measures, they're mentally or physically incapacitated and have no quality of life. And they're still hanging out. And it's just sad to see. So I thought about that. So if you wanted to support that, I encourage you to think, when was the last time you volunteered, visited, or even toured a local nursing home, maybe even an assisted living facility? My guess is probably not recently, but consider it. Consider doing so. I think you would be just shocked or saddened by the number of people who are strapped in a wheelchair, just sitting there with a blank gaze, staring off into space with some form of dementia or Alzheimer's, you know? And then sometimes these people are also placed in a coma and they're on life support. Why? Well, because they didn't have their advanced directives done. Those durable medical power of attorneys were never completed. You know, there was a study that was done about all of the loved ones who was incapacitated that he was talking about in his speech. And they interviewed, oh gosh, I don't know how many people, but families that had these loved ones, like I just described. And each of these families felt that they would have liked to have discussed these end-of-life conversations with their family, but they always kicked the can down the road and said, hey, you know, I'm going to do that at a later date. Across the board, now all these people, regardless of the age, said, you know, whether it's between 65 and 94, that, you know, the what if factor wasn't going to happen. So that's why they kicked it down the road. You know, they thought they were invincible. Well, we know that end result. He also talked about the end of life very simplistically. You know, through those eyes of the people who practice medicine, I found this very, very interesting. He broke it down to, there are just really four ways to die, and the third way being the most tragic. The first form of death typically resembles something that's a fluke, you know. It could be a suicide, it could be a childhood disease, you know, but a lot of these diseases are gone because of the vaccines. And there are other proactive measures. So this number one way to die has decreased dramatically. The second way is people die through a terminal illness. You know, that could be cancer. It was discovered too late. It could be kidney disease. It doesn't really matter. The third way that people are dying, which is sadly the most preventable, is that they die in the hospital's ICU or critical care unit. They enter the ICU via the emergency room and they don't die. However, they often have the equivalent to a death sentence through zero quality of life. Hence, they're placed in long-term care, maybe a facility, and they end up like Karen Quinlan or Terry Schiavo. The fourth way to die, well, it's just an increase of numbers. Your body just gives out and you become frail and everything starts to shut down. So what were these major findings that came out of this study? Well, everybody at the hospital unanimously agreed that the third way to die was the worst way to die. Families who experienced a loved one's death in long-term care with no quality of life experienced 7 times more of a stressful financial situation and emotional situation. And finally, if families had the opportunity to do what their loved one wanted, they would have carried it out. But here's the thing. Physicians, their hands are tied. They took an oath to save lives. I mean, they, unless there are explicit instructions from that individual, a doctor has an obligation to prevent death whenever possible. A doctor, however, cannot deny a patient advocate form. So what's the solution? Well, I think we all know what it is, but it's easier said than done. But in theory, it could work. Start talking. Talk about it. Talk to your middle school children. Heck, we have the talk about the birds and the bees. Why don't we have a conversation about this, you know, upon graduation as a life skill or upon college? I mean, heck, think about this. When you apply for a driver's license in the United States, they ask you, do you want to be an organ donor? And there are no age restrictions. Why not at that time ask them, have you completed a patient advocate form? That might be a good idea. I don't know how we get that, but that was just off the cuff here. Bottom line, as responsible adults, we got to educate ourselves on the pros and cons of advanced directives and medical power of attorneys and let our wishes be known. Otherwise, you could just end up with no quality of life. So before I close out, on a side note, while my profession is death care, please know that I am not an advocate of death. I'm an advocate of life. Life for me is an environment where I either have the ability to recover and be functional and independent. If I can't do that, I don't want to be here. And please know that I have left a roadmap for my family. Regardless of what your position is, my challenge and call to action to you is, have you had the conversation yet? And are your decisions documented? If not, why not? I'd love to talk to you. So thanks for listening, everyone. And better off, thanks for not waking up dead today. If you'd like to read this blog, jump over to jodyclock.com. And I want to hear what you have to say. Leave me some input. Thanks for listening. Hey, if you're hearing this message, you've listened to the entire episode. And for that, I want to thank you. And I am so glad you didn't wake up dead today. Please jump over to jodyclock.com and download your free copy of my family care plan. This guide will help those you leave behind should you wake up dead. I promise. Be sure to order my book, It's Complicated, based on a true story. Send me an email about topics you'd like to hear in future episodes. Until next time, thank you for not falling asleep.